tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I was born and raised in Murfreesboro. Lived there all of my life, except for the 3 years that I spent in the United States Marine Corps. My family, my grandfather started a trucking business, even though the area was settled by our family. My grandfather started a trucking business in 1933. I came home from the Marine Corps and ran that for 10 years. So I've been involved in small business. After leaving that, I became a full-time firefighter for the city of Murfreesboro for a couple years. But also at the same time, we started our family business, which is the White House Beauty Salon. And it's a beauty salon in our home. In our original home, so the beauty salon is still there, but we now rent the front, and we built another home. But our daughter is also in that business with us. There's been several people over the years. We have basically rental stations that's been a small business, operated for now 24 years, 25 years. My political career got involved early on when I came home from the Marine Corps. There were some things going on at the local level I was not happy with. Ran for office as a county board member, was elected county board at 23 years old. Served on the county board a term, then became the first elected citywide office that was Republican in 60 years in the city of Murfreesboro. I was city treasurer. Now, that's a part-time job, so I was still, working at Boss Trucks every time. Ran for state rep the first time in 92 in a four-way primary on the Republican side, three-way primary on the Democrat side, and then ended up winning the primary, losing in the general, then came back in 94 and was elected a state rep.
And you've been state rep ever since.
Been state rep ever since.
So you've been in the minority the whole time, haven't
no.
you? Except for
no.
one time.
Right, right. Whenever I first came in, we were in the majority.
Yeah, that's right. When you say Michael Madigan has been speaker, there's always that two-year period.
Two-year period. That was whenever I came in.
So how has it been being in the Missouri House, the Illinois House, when the majority of the time it's just been dominated by the other party?
You know, even though during the years that we at least had a Republican governor and a Republican-controlled Senate, it did work well. We were able to move things. And even being in the minority, by being able to work across the aisle, you can get things done somewhat. The problem is that when in the state of Illinois, when you've had a speaker that's been the speaker as long as Mike Madigan has, he doesn't disobey the Constitution, but he tweaks the rules of the House to give him total power. That is a problem. It is a problem. And the state of Illinois, so many times is when this, and I know we're not going to talk about state reps, but the reality is that in the state of Illinois, so many people say, well, I'm going to vote for so-and-so, and they're going to be the state rep, and they're a good person. I'm going to still stick with them, even though they're a Democrat. They represent my views. But then they go, and the first vote they make is for Mike Madigan, who doesn't represent your views. Then there's a problem with them. And that's what a lot of voters don't realize, that their first vote is that one that puts Madigan in.
Now, why did you decide to run for Congress? I mean, I think you're a much different candidate than Jason Plummer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've been elected office for a while. You have a lot of life experience, whereas he was kind of castigated as like a rich
right.
boy,
right.
lightweight.
Right.
I don't think that's the criticism toward you. I think mainly the things that they're criticizing you for is your votes,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah. Well, actually, they're actually criticizing me for things that are not my votes. I would love to be talk about my votes.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they want to talk about sideline issues instead of talking about the real issues.
Yeah.
The real issues is how we need jobs and how the federal government continues to go down a path of overregulating to the point that we cannot, first off, expand our coal industry. We can't expand our oil industry. We have trouble. We have a Keystone pipeline that the president's holding up that stops off in Wood River and then goes just to the area just north of the 12th District over above Mount Vernon where it ends. Those are jobs that are vitally important. We also have there's all kinds of issues out there. But see, they don't want to talk about those issues. Because if they talk about those issues, then I line up with the people we represent here in the 12th.
Yeah.
Now, when your original question was, why did I want to run? It was a lot of prayer and a lot of decision making that I had to choose. I thought about running 2 years ago, but I didn't feel like. I just prayed it out and talked out with my family, and I didn't feel like it was right. I got 9 grandkids. I'm afraid if somebody doesn't start standing up for the jobs and for the future of this United States, we're not going to have the United States that was handed off to us by our parents and our grandparents. And because of that, that's why I made the decision to run.
Now, if you're elected, what do you want to do in Congress? What are the main issues that you'd want to focus on?
Okay, first off, let me explain to you. I know that, you know, you'd like to say that each congressman has this great big power, but you're one of 436. So you know, you're limited on what you can do unless it's build coalitions across the aisle. And regardless of how my opponent tries to paint it, in the state of Illinois, I was able to do that. We were able to work on, there are tremendous amounts of pieces of legislation that we worked in bipartisan manner. Unfortunately, quite often, the only thing you hear about are the ones that we're not getting done. But that being said, one thing that must be done, must be worked on, if we're talking about specific legislation, is overburdensome regulation that comes up across on EPA and the IRS and other agencies that pin people down where they either don't want to make investment in business and don't want to grow jobs and don't want to do all those things. So that will be a focus. Now, as far as committee work and stuff like that, I believe that with my background and this district, I would want to work to get involved with the Veterans Affairs issues because of the amount of veterans that we have, as well as trying to get onto the Ag Committee because that's vitally important for this district. There, I have other expertise that we could be working on, and as I look those committees over and I check out the committee assignments to try to figure out which way would I best benefit the 12th district, I will look that over in time. But right now, the main job is trying to get elected.
Now, yeah, obviously. Now, let's say, I think as you kind of alluded to, as a freshman representative, your power is going to be relatively limited. But if you're there for a long time,
correct,
sort of like Congressman Costello was there,
you betcha,
regardless of whether you're in the minority or the majority, you could do stuff.
You can work bipartisan way.
So if you do win and you're there for a long time, and I ask Enyart the same question, what would be like the biggest thing you'd like to accomplish while in Congress?
Well, let me tell you, one of the things that I believe that I see right now that is a really problem that happens in the U.S. Congress and that happens in the U.S. Congress but does not happen, or it happens in the state representative but doesn't happen in the U.S. Congress, which really shocks me. We have kind of given free rein to our bureaucratic groups, EPA, the IRS, all of these, and the only time they have to answer to Congress is when they come back to Congress. I think that when they do something that Congress calls them out on. In the state of Illinois, once they create these agencies do not change their rules unless they clear it through what's known as JCAR in the state of Illinois. I think that makes sense. If you're asking the elected officials to be responsible, then let's, you know, now. Is that the only issue? No, there's many. I know that we need to make sure that our foreign trade is something that I would work on to make sure that we're once again becoming and growing into the economic engine that drives the world, to bring us back into that status. I'm a Marine, so our national defense is very important to me. I served during Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. I know what it was like and how our military had fell away and how we couldn't even pull hostages out of Iran because of the broken down equipment that we'd had left and that our military was underpaid and all the problems that we had. And then I watched it grow back after that when Ronald Reagan came in. I'm afraid that we're at that point right now, and that if someone isn't speaking up to change, to get ourselves back into that status, while nobody likes war. Nobody likes having to take military action. Sometimes by just making sure that we have the force in readiness is always important. And I feel like maybe we're sliding away from having our force in readiness.
Now, Scott Air Force Base is in your district. What do you want to do with that?
Well, let me tell you that there's a group that's trying to come over to, they're trying to move some national security things over into the Scott Air Force Base. I want to encourage that. That's about 3,000 jobs to come over. I want to encourage that. We also want to make sure that the funding for Scott Air Force Base remains at the highest level possible. And here's why. People really don't understand that Scott Air Force Base, now they do here, but when you get outside of just the immediate O'Fallon Scott area, Belleville Scott area, people don't understand that that is the communication hub and the center for all transport of all moving of all four branches, all five branches of military. This is where the hub where all the central control is. We need to make sure that that's maintained and that makes sure that the quality base and more things are added in, because one is it is will be the most centrally located base in the United States.
So let's talk about the race for a second.
Okay.
You know, I think starting out, there was this feeling that the 13th congressional race was going to be the main event. That's, that race has kind of fallen off the radar.
Right.
Yours is kind of the main event.
Right.
I mean, people are saying it's one of the most competitive races in the entire country.
And in the nation, is it's rated as one of the top races in the nation.
How do you feel about that, be running in such a competitive race?
You know, I'm familiar with running, because if you'll remember, the race that I ran whenever I was first elected to the Illinois 115th was a race similar to that. It was the one area that had the largest Democrat population that a Republican was elected. And that's because it's a changing dynamic. And the race itself is just that. The people, though they are longtime Democrats, their families have been, they see a change in some things that are happening on the national level through the Democrat Party that they're really not happy with, that don't line up with their beliefs. Even though they'd like to stay, you know, they want to say, Mom and Dad were Democrat, I'm going to stay a Democrat. Or my union told me, and I'm a union firefighter, my union says, oh, well, I should be a Democrat. But those ideas are not lining up, because they aren't. They've left the working people, and went to the areas of an expansion of government to a point that the working people are going, I can't afford to pay it anymore.
So, you know, my impression is, and your Congressman Enyard hasn't been immersed in any like scandals, and I don't think he's done anything like super controversial.
I think the line there was he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, but why do you think? But I guess with that preface, why do you think he's so endangered, and why do you think
let me tell you two things. One is that the people of the 12th were used to a very hard-working congressman in Jerry Costello. I myself worked very well with Jerry Costello. It doesn't matter what party he was in. What matters is that he was in constant touch with the people. Bill Enyart has not done that. Let me explain that. Bill Enyart never had a town hall meeting until I had already announced that I was running against him, and announced my town hall meeting in Marion dealing with the veterans issues. The same night, after I'd already had the town hall meeting planned, he set up and had a tele-town hall meeting. Not a real town hall meeting, a tele-town hall meeting. Now, I've had tele-town hall meetings too, they're fine. But you need to get it. They're too controlled. You need to go out and get in touch with the people. Also, Bill Enyart never had what was known as Congressman on the Corner until he was seen in the polls. You know, he's not anywhere. What's it going to do? So then they put together what's known as Congressman on the Corner. Well, then you come to find out that when you read into exactly what Congressman on the Corner is, in his case, Congressman on the Corner is sending his congressman staff to the corner and then him not showing up. That's a problem. I don't know, you know, how Congressman Enyart looks at this, but my thought is, and always has been, because I know what it was to be a state rep, and though your title is U.S. Congress, it's still U.S. Representative, and you can't represent people unless you're in constant contact with them. Since July 4th, and not because we went back to count from July 4th, and there was many before that because I'd been doing things as state rep besides that. We've done over 140 events, one-on-one with people at events, not just campaign events, but talking on issues, finding about the concerns of the people, making sure we're in touch with them, because these jobs are servants' jobs. Unfortunately, I don't think the congressman understands or chooses not to put forth the effort that Jerry Costello did and that I myself am doing.
Okay. So I've covered competitive congressional races before. The 9th congressional district race in Missouri was very competitive. There was one, I mean, I covered the 12th district race 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, when the committees get involved, the DCCC, the NRCC, the attacks that are done
amazing.
It's almost generic. You could replace the candidates at the same time.
You're right. They do the same thing all over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the one wrinkle is they've been using your speech that you made in Illinois.
It's fine.
And you've actually kind of embraced it.
Well, because. And let me explain that. 2 weeks before that, Nancy Pelosi had come out and said, we're going to pass this bill so we can find out what it does. And then here I am in Springfield working, doing our job on a bill that we'd worked on that was a very important bill, the pension bill of the state of Illinois. And then to bring a bill out 10 minutes before committee that they changed in the middle of the night, that's not the way it was supposed to be done. The people are frustrated. Was I upset? You're doggone right I was upset. Sure. As well I should have been. There's three areas that I get upset over, and I think a majority of the people in my constituents do too. One, if you do something that violates our Constitution, then I have a problem with that, because that Constitution has been set forth as the basis of why our government works. And if all places, if you start doing things that violate the Constitution in those halls of Congress or in the House of Representatives in the state of Illinois, that's not right, and somebody needs to stand up. Second thing, if you do something in the House rules and or in some other form of government that tries to take away the ability of the elected official to represent their people to the best of their ability through rules or whatever, then I feel it's my job as their representative to stand up for them and that. The third thing in my life that I'll stand up for will be my wife and my kids.
Yeah. Do you think it might backfire given that you were speaking out against Michael Madigan and Pat Quinn and they're probably not super popular here?
Right. Well, that's what we're seeing in our polls. And the reality is not because it's just Mike Madigan and Pat Quinn, but that does help. However, the reality is that people want their... I didn't hurt anybody. I yelled. I threw papers. I expressed myself at a point that people understood what I was saying. And many of my constituents say, yeah, why aren't the rest of them doing that? And why is it that Washington, D.C. is failing so bad? Maybe because there's not enough of them out there standing up for what we believe. They're going out there and representing their own interest and just sitting there and doing nothing. And I think that that's maybe why this is resonating. I'm not going to be a person who goes there and sets and does nothing. And if you want a person that goes and sets and does nothing and not argue on your behalf, then I'm probably not the guy. Because I'm going to argue and stand up. And now that doesn't mean I can't work across the aisle, because I've proved over the years that I can. But I'm not going to say working across the aisle doesn't mean just standing up and getting out of the way and let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, this is kind of a risk for you, because I guess by running for this, you're leaving the Illinois House, and I would assume that you've been reelected handily ever since.
I have. But here's the risk.
Yeah.
The risk is that if the people don't elect me, then I have to go and go back to working in the private sector, which I did before, which I still do because we own a business. But for my grandkids, I couldn't just sit by anymore. And if the people send me, I will work hard for them and do the best job I possibly can. If they don't, then God got other plans, and that's okay too.